Amen. So we are going to open our Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah chapter 53 to begin with. And here we're going to be reading about the old white-haired prophet Isaiah seeing a vision. He saw him in his glory, it tells us in John chapter 12. And he saw what Jesus would go through. Can you imagine living 700 years prior to the event and seeing this happen? And he wrote about it. God moved upon him. He put it down in the book of Isaiah. We have it in our scripture today. And we're going to look at this very carefully, because I'm trusting the Lord will use this to move upon our hearts and souls and draw us closer to Him than we've ever been before. When you realize what the Savior has done for you, as David said in the Psalms, I will declare what God hath done for my soul. Amen. Now, in Isaiah 53, it starts out by saying, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And when I read that verse, I look at the world that is basically ignoring God. Many times through their own religions, they ignore God. They ignore the truth and the commandments of the Lord. There are so many religions, so many churches of all kinds. And it's sad to see the deterioration of them. Not the striving for the mastery. Not the fighting of spiritual battles. But the entertainment committees and all of the worldliness that has come in. And oh, if we could be like the church in the book of Acts and get ourselves out of the way. And if we can truly believe that report. If we can. Great and marvelous things happen because the Spirit of God begins to move through us. And we'll find out that the church that the Lord established on the day of Pentecost is still here. And the power of God is still manifested. The gifts of the Spirit still operate. But it's something we must all desire from the depth of our innermost being. It can never be secondary. Nothing else will do. In these perilous times we're living in right now, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and then with times of refreshing that come down from the very throne of God. So, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? If you believe it tonight, thank God. Thank God. And I believe that's why you're here. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. And boy, that ground is dry, folks. He's seeing a vision here. The Savior would come forth, and of course, using the metaphor, the dry ground. When Jesus came to his own received him not. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It would take the power of God to take a miserable sinner like me and do anything with me. And I hope you feel the same way. Because the Lord is able to take you and bring you forth, filled with his power as a true child of God. It is the power of salvation. Salvation is the power of God manifested to us. We're talking about the greatest power of all time in all the world, far greater than any expression of power, because it's spiritual. Now, he grew up out of a dry ground. It says he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, There is no beauty that we should desire him. The natural man is not impressed. When you look at the people of the world today, how many of them never, ever, ever give God a thought? You know, the scripture says, my people have forgotten me days without number. That is why he came down in the form of a man, became one of us, and then, when he ascended into heaven after his death, burial, and resurrection, he poured out his Spirit upon us. And when he did that, by his Spirit, we remember, we understand, we're brought closer to God. Every day we're reminded how evil the world is and how great God is. Every day, every hour, I hope. There's such a contrast. There are those out there that think, well, God tolerates all these things. God has changed. You know, President Obama, I hesitate to call him that. I'll just call him Mr. Obama. Well, Obama. I'll just do Obama, all right? And some of you that have read my newsletter, you heard that I have a prayer that I pray for him. I've had people tell me, you need to pray for that man. And I do. Psalm 109, verse 8. May his days be few, and let another take his office. That's my prayer for him. Really, I'll tell you, we are looking at Antichrist power being manifested in this world right now. We are looking at another kind of Babylonian captivity. We are looking at the emergence of communism in our country. And most people don't seem to understand what's going on. And yet the Lord foretold of the oppression that would come, of the Antichrist that would rise up. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. But if another come in his own name, him you will receive. And the world looks at the Antichrist as the answer, as the great one who will solve all things. But we look at the same one and say, it's a son of perdition. Perdition means eternal damnation. A title ascribed to Judas Iscariot. Now, you look at this world and you look at the Word of God and you see the contrast and you can see why Jesus came to save us out of that and bring us into his kingdom. Now, it goes on to describe the situation. It says in verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men. Still is. I started to say earlier that Obama had a prayer breakfast. A prayer breakfast. At the beginning of February. And at the prayer breakfast, he honored a homosexual leader who made the statement that God is a homophobe and bigot and needs to repent for all the trouble he caused, Sodom and Gomorrah and all the gay community for all the years. And he honored this man at a prayer breakfast. Now, do you see anything wrong with that? I do. I can see through that. Should anybody have trouble seeing through that? And then at the end of February, he called together the atheists, the nihilists, the unbelievers. The White House hosted a party for them. One of the keynote people there was a man who wrote the book, God is Not Great. Well, now why in the world would he write a book like that if he doesn't believe there's a God? Is nothing great? You know, is this non-entity great? I don't believe atheists exist. Everybody knows deep down inside there's a God. Amen. And I'll tell you what is Thursday's April 1st? Isn't it National Atheist Day? April Fool's Day? The fool has said in his heart there is no God? That's their day. Anyway, when I think of what Jesus put up with. When I think of what he put up with just me, but all the sin of the world. That's what this chapter is all about. Where would we be if he hadn't done it? We'd all be lost. I don't know about you, but I couldn't keep the old covenant. In fact, nobody ever did. Not one. Only Jesus. God himself came down in the form of a man through a virgin named Mary. He was born. And the scripture tells us when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He came in and took us as orphans and adopted us into his kingdom. Not because of any merit or worthiness in us. I don't think anybody here would be able to say or would want to say, God, give me exactly what I deserve. I'd keep the funeral home busy. You know, it says he is despised and rejected of man. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. When you look at this verse, it says he was despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, trouble, sickness, pain. Oh, yes, he took that all for us. And what did people do? What was the response, the reaction of people? We hid, as it were, our faces from him. We looked the other way. May believe we just didn't see. I'll tell you what, God's grace is beyond anything I can comprehend. Is there anybody here that has felt the grace of God? And so it says he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Anything you carry, he's carried it as well. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Some people have trouble with that verse. What is that all about? They don't understand who Jesus is. Some people think that Jesus was dying on the cross and God was up there in heaven and just looked the other way and wouldn't even look at him. I'll tell you where God was. God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself. And for that brief moment when he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said it because he felt the fullness of the impact of all the sin and rebellion and evil, every incident of ungodliness. He took it all upon himself and he felt the heavy weight of it. And he cried out when he felt it. Because sin will always make you feel rejected. You know, God is so gracious to us because if we do wrong, he convicts us and brings us to repentance and brings us to a right place again. The Lord took all of our sins upon himself and felt the heavy weight, and it caused him to cry out, a desperate cry. So where was God? Right there, not far off somewhere. But sin always brings a feeling of rejection. He had none of his own. Jesus never sinned, not one time, in thought, word, or deed. But when he took yours and mine, the weight of that, the worst feeling you've ever had, the most rejected feeling you ever had, the most terrible feeling you ever had, he took that upon himself. He felt that too. Not only for you, but for all of us. For all that he foreknew. Because that's what it took to save us. And so it tells us also, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Just like 1 Peter 2:24 also tells us the same thing. By his stripes we were healed. Not only did he take the sin of all the people of the world that he foreknew, but he also paid the price for the healing. Sometimes healing doesn't come right away. The Lord teaches us things. He gets us in a position to where we will receive the miracle and receive the blessing. God is not reluctant. If God doesn't do what we want him to do right now, we think he's reluctant. No, no, no. Sometimes we're just not ready to receive it yet. And so he conditions our heart. He gives us patience. He very, very carefully makes us what we ought to be. And so all of this is going on for our benefit. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Yes, we're the recipients of the blessings. He took all the suffering. We got all the blessing. What a Savior we have. And if he would do that, he would do whatever it takes as you go through life to keep you right and to get you ready for that beautiful city that's coming down from God out of heaven. He was oppressed, was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a sheep, or rather a lamb, to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so openeth he not his mouth. Remember how he stood there on trial by man? Can you imagine God? You say he's the Son of God? Yes, but God was inside of him. On trial? Before a court of religion? You know, long ago, when this was all happening, long before this was happening even, when God set up the priesthood in Israel, he said the high priest's garment was to be double stitched at the top, that it be not rent. You could never rend that garment of the high priest. If you did, the old covenant would be over. It would be all done. So they safety stitched it. You can read about it in the scripture. It tells you. And so here you have Jesus standing before the high priest of Israel. And the high priest is so incensed and enraged, being incited by the devil. Think it's possible for priests to be incited by the devil? That's right, the devil's in the Vatican, right? He's everywhere else too, but here you had Jesus standing there with his robe. Remember, it was without seam, woven from the top to the bottom. Two robes representing two different priesthoods. And so the scripture tells us that the high priest was so angry, he grabbed his garment and rent it, ripped through those double stitches and tore it. That was the end of the old covenant, the old priesthood. The garment that Jesus had was not ripped. And when they're going to divide it, it was now in the hands of the Gentiles, the Romans. They looked at it and they said, no, let's cast lots for it. That priesthood stood. That garment was not rent. What an awesome thing it was, and how God built all of these things in to all of his plan. There are so many things like that. You know, when Jesus was buried, after they took him down off the cross, he was dead. They ran the spear in his side, blood and water came forth. He was dead. He died for you and I. They put him in the tomb. And in the tomb, they laid him there. They put the rock in front of it. Weighed at least 2 tons. Some say it was 3. Sealed it with the Roman seal. Set a watch, 16 Roman guards. And of course, the story goes at the end of Matthew that the Pharisees paid off those guards to say they all fell asleep. And his disciples came and tiptoed through the tulips, rolled the rock away, and stole his body without waking up any guards. We know what really happened. An angel came down and rolled the stone away. And Jesus came forth victoriously. And when his disciples came and discovered it, of course, the first to discover the resurrection were women. God ordained that to be. Eve fell first in the Garden of Eden and then gave also to her husband. But God, through the agency of a woman without the agency of a man, brought forth a Savior. And likewise, women were the first to find the empty tomb. When Peter and John came in, John outran Peter, and they looked inside, and there they saw the grave clothes laying there. And it's so awesome. I always get chills up and down my spine when I think of this. Because young Jewish boys who are taught to serve were always taught traditionally that when their master, the master of the house, would sit at the table to eat, he'd have his napkin and he would eat, and if he crumpled up his napkin, he would, when he's finished eating, he'd wipe his beard, crumple up the napkin and throw it down. And that crumpled napkin showed that he was through. It was all over. But if he had to get up and leave for a little while, but he was planning to come back again, he folded the napkin at the table. And the young man who was watching would not clear the table off. He would wait for him to come back because of the folded napkin. Can you imagine the thrill of Peter and John when they went in there and they saw the grave clothes laying there and God took the time to stop and fold up the napkin? What does that mean? He's coming back again. This thing's not over. The scripture makes it very clear to us that the napkin was folded, laying there folded. The Lord has a lot of things like that in the scripture for us to understand. So the scripture goes on and tells us, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. How could that be? Well, it just so happened that Joseph of Arimathea was moved upon by God, a very rich man, wealthy man, that was in the shipping industry and was mining tin at Cornwall, way over in the British Isles, became very wealthy because tin and copper were used to make bronze. So Joseph of Arimathea was a very, very wealthy man. And he begged the body of Jesus and put him in his own tomb. He made his grave with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. This is the part of Scripture that tears my heart apart. It is such an awesome thing when you think of it. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Why did he do it? Because down through the corridors of eternity, he saw you. And that's why he did it. And you've got to take this personally. He's your personal Savior. He saw you. And he went through with all of this because of you personally. Now, how does that make you feel? Praise the Lord. And so he goes on and says this. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now, please look at this carefully, because for years I had read this, well, the travail of his soul, I looked at travail as just a very difficult experience to go through. But that's not what travail means there. You and I are the travail of his soul. I was his travail. You were his travail. He felt the grief, the sorrow, the pain, the very door of death for you. He travailed for you. You are the travail of his soul. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He saw you and was satisfied? You know, that makes me want to praise him. When God sees his people worshiping and standing up against the enemy and saying no to sin and reaching out with all their heart and doing his work, that's the least we can do, and just a response to his love. But the Lord saw that and was satisfied. He saw the multitudes that no man could number standing there in Revelation chapter 7. As the old song goes, behold the host arrayed in white, like thousand snow-clad mountains bright. With palms they stand, who is this band before the throne of light? These are they of glorious fame who from great tribulation came, and in the flood of Jesus' blood are cleansed from guilt and shame. Did he see your face in Revelation chapter 7? White robes, palms in their hands, glorifying God. And oh, that I might have that crown of life that he promised, so I can take it off and lay it at his feet, saying, I didn't do anything to deserve this. And so they cast down their golden crowns around the glassy sea in the society of angels and in the presence of the throne of God. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Our justification is found only in him. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. But who hath believed his report? Who really hath believed it? You know, if we go to take a few minutes and do this, if we go over to the book of John, chapter 12, I made reference to that a few minutes ago. And you go down to verse 23 of John 12, the Gospel of John 23, or 12 rather, verse 23, chapter 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." He's talking about you and I. Because of his death, a great harvest would come forth. You know, sometimes you look at the world, you get so tangled up in the affairs of this life, you wonder, how's God ever going to get me through from here to there? He got you this far, and he'll get you the rest of the way. Amen. Just work with him. Yield unto him. You'll find out how his power can do it. Amen. I've seen him work wonders. He's still here with us. He's here with us right now. He's in this auditorium tonight. His spirit is here because we've gathered in his name. We're reading his word. We're remembering his body and his blood. We're remembering his suffering. We're here on the very night. Oh, and isn't it amazing how God chose this night? You know, when he told Israel, take the new moon. The new moon always started the month. Not the full moon, the new moon. And he said, take the new moon and count 14 days. And that's the Passover. Which brings us to the full moon. They had full moon for light. But God never referenced the full moon. He indexed the new moon and said, count 14 days. In all the pagan religions, it's always the full moon. The Easter celebration, the first Sunday after the first full moon, after the spring equinox. Right? But God didn't do that. For the Passover, he said, you go from the new moon, that's the beginning of months, and then count 14 days, and they had a full moon for plenty of light to leave Egypt. God put that lesser light to rule the night, but without making any big central attraction out of the full moon, he rather started with a new moon and said, count 14 days. And it was under the light of the full moon that they left the land of sin and slavery, the land of Egypt. What a wonderful, wonderful thought that is. And that pillar of fire was before them. And they all left that, the big multitude left that entire region. God took them to the Red Sea. Opened up the Red Sea. There's your first interstate highway right there. And I don't think it was a little narrow path because a million of them had to cross over. When he opened that thing, he opened that thing. And he fed them in the wilderness. The Bible says in the book of the Psalms that men ate manna, they ate angels' food. That's what it says. Men ate angels' food. And God took care of them. Their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. Every day was another miracle. That's the way God wants it to be for us. Our clothes wear out, that doesn't matter anymore. But we are his spiritual people, and every day should have a miracle in it of some kind. And don't discount miracles. They do happen. Sometimes they seem very, very little. But I think if I'd ask how many of you ever received a miracle, you could think of one. That accident you were in, but you lived, and you could have been dead. All of the times that danger was there and God took you through it. Oh yes, He's very present with us. And you know, we like sheep have gone astray, the Bible says. But He went after us. He left the 99 and went after the one that was lost. Praise the Lord. Now, once again in John, we just want to read a few more verses. Verse 25 says, Jesus said, He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life for in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That's very clear, isn't it? Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it. I've heard people say, I wish God would just speak from heaven. He did that already. What did people do? It says, some said it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him, but nobody got it right. And yet it was for their sake. It says, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. You were supposed to hear it. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. When was Satan bound? At Calvary. And we're living in that peculiar time right now where he's been loosed for a little season. And we see him gathering from all the four corners of the earth, all the nations, into a one world government. Into a new money system, into a whole new Antichrist enterprise to captivate people and bring them into subjection and subservience to that totalitarian power. But God will never allow his people to be deceived. If it were possible, he would deceive the very elect, but that's not possible. Now, he says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, I've felt that drawing power. And I know you have too. In fact, that's why we're here tonight. We were drawn by that power. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Lifted up. When he was lifted up, Satan was cast down. That still happens, you know. You can lift up the name of Jesus and the powers of Satan are cast down. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive afterward, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Glorify him. Glorify him. That's when he pours out the Holy Ghost. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. I see once again, making reference to the people of the world. They don't know what's going on. They don't know where they're going. They have no reference point. They hope they have a job to go to, and if they do, they work their job, they come home, they eat, they watch their entertainment, they get up and do it all again the next day. There's no purpose in life. We're just strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Scripture tells us, and that verse just always grips me, in Hebrews chapter 13, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. There's nothing here, not even Jerusalem over there by the Mediterranean Sea. That's going to be flattened out and destroyed. Because the new Jerusalem comes down from God, out of heaven. When David said he was born again, he said, this man was born there. Our birth is registered in heaven, our new birth. We're fellow citizens of that great city. We're just waiting for it. Amen. The battles of this world are not mine. The battle is the Lord's. And he's always victorious. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Why? But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. See, miracles don't convince anybody. They can be explained away, even though the explanation's ridiculous. People would do that. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet, now we just read it, didn't we? We just came out of chapter 53. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should have been put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to get kicked out of the church they belonged to. They believed him, but they hung on to their religion with a death grip. So they didn't confess him. They didn't want to get kicked out of what they had. Hey, you haven't lived until you've been kicked out of something. Praise the Lord. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And then, just a couple of verses, yet Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me. That sounds strange, doesn't it? Let's read the rest of it. But on him that sent me, and he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. You're looking at God, our Heavenly Father, wearing a human body, but he's still there. The Heavenly Father is there, wearing that body. And Jesus said, you're looking at him and you don't realize it. You think I'm just a man. Oh, I love that old song from back in the 1930s. It might even be earlier than that. Who do you say I am? From whence do you say I came? Now, who do you say I am? And from whence do you say I came? Do you know the Father? And can you tell his name? The King of kings and Lord of lords, Almighty God is he. The everlasting Father throughout eternity. And I'm singing those songs I sing in my car all the time. I am was before old Abraham. He rejoiced to see my day. When Jesus said these words to them, they stoned him right away. Why do you stone me? Jesus said in a holy, sweet command. Because I say I'm the great I am, and you think I'm just a man. But oh, who do you say I am? And from whence do you say I came? Do you know the Father? And can you tell his name? The King of kings and Lord of lords, Almighty God is he. The everlasting Father throughout eternity. Isn't that wonderful? That's an old timer. Amen. Amen. I just love those old songs. He's El Shaddai. Of all the holy prophets, he's the King of kings. Great eternal wonder, holy counselor. And Israel's righteous governor, he's the great I am. We got to bring some of those back, don't we?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hope you didn't mind a little musical here. I just felt like singing. You ever feel like singing? Well, we're just about there. I just wanted to get this out so we can understand. Might as well finish. We're just about finished with the chapter, okay? So, Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me, that whosoever believeth on me, should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He came as a savior. Next time he comes, it'll be as a judge. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Folks, the criteria for judgment we have before us, our Bibles, is the basis for our judgment. If we love this book and stay in this book, we'll be fine in the judgment. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Every word that came through that flesh was God Almighty talking through that flesh. The Creator of the universe. He that skips past the galaxies and rides the thunder and comes down among men. He it is that saved your soul. And so you don't have to worry if you embrace his promises and let the power of his word convert you and do a wonderful work in you. We're here tonight to remember his work. We're here tonight to remember his suffering and death. And if you could bear with me for one more song, I'm going to sing a song that was written in 1809. And I think I'll be able to stand up and do this. I would prefer to do it that way. This song will prepare us for what we're about to do with the communion. For it was on Passover night that Jesus instituted it as a perpetual statute forever. Praise the Lord.
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected, Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proofs I see sufficient of it, 'tis a true and faithful word. Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him.
Let's go back and do that again. I get choked up over this. I'm sorry.
Many hands were raised to wound him. None would interpose to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God.
Hear the last verse and let this touch your heart. This is so very true.
Here we have a firm foundation, here the refuge of the lost. Christ the rock of our salvation, Christ the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope have built.
Praise the Lord. And that's what he's done for us. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands and just worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praised be thy holy name, O God. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. What we're going to do is we are going to remember, as he told us to, his body and his blood, represented by the unleavened bread. And Sister Shirley made this from wheat berries, hand ground in our kitchen, and made into flour. Nothing could be purer. And unleavened bread, that's why it's going to look dark. It's, you know, it's a brown color. It's whole wheat, as whole wheat as you can get, right from the wheat berries. And no leaven, because leaven, of course, is a representation of sin, and Jesus knew no sin. So to represent his body, you have to use something that is unleavened. Okay? And, of course, the juice of the grape is not fermented, because alcohol is a sign that it is decayed, that the juice is decayed. And again, Jesus saw no corruption. His blood is perfect and pure. What we're going to do is take one side. There are a lot of people here tonight, so I'm going to start over on this side, and we'll start at the front, and let's line up in the front here, if you would, please. Those that are going to partake tonight, just come and stand in the front, if you would. Hallelujah. And as they're coming, the rest of you just pray, meditate upon the Lord, the good things of God. Just kind of line all the way up this way. There we go. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. in Matthew 26:26, Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had blessed it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." We're going to pray right now and ask the Lord to bless this representation of his body and of his blood. Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for this opportunity we have to remember thee again. Though thou art with us every day, this is a special night. For long ago on this very night, thou didst bring forth a new covenant in thy blood. A continuation of the Passover into a new covenant that we call communion, or the Lord's Supper, or the Lord's table. And thou didst say, "This do in remembrance of me." So Lord, tonight we remember thee with love in our hearts, being thankful, O God, for thy salvation. Bless this bread and the fruit of the vine. And O God, let it bring forth a great miracle and blessing to us tonight as we draw close to thee now. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had blessed it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. And this do in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. And after the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the remission of sins." Jesus said, "Drink ye all of it. For this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins." Jesus said, "Drink ye all of it. For this cup is the new testament in my blood." Hallelujah. Okay. Jesus said, "Drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "Drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins." Praise the Lord. Continue to worship, and you can be seated if you'd like to. We'll have the rest from that side come up, please. Praise the Lord. There are a lot more of us now than there have been before. And right now, while we're doing this, there are those online. We sent them instructions on how to get online and watch this. They can see us right now standing here. And they also have bread and grape juice. And they have the recipe from the bread, for the bread. So they're joining us all over the world right now. Isn't that exciting? Yes. Amen. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had blessed it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." Thank you, Jesus. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." This do in remembrance of me. Jesus said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." Hallelujah. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, when he had supped, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins." Jesus said, "Drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament." In my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Jesus said, "Drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you the remission of sins." God bless. And you can be seated and continue to worship the Lord. The first half of this side, or as many as can get here. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had blessed it, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is given for you." Jesus said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "Take and eat. For this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When he took the cup and had supped, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins." This do in remembrance of me. Jesus said, drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus said, drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And as you continue to worship, you may be seated as well. Thank you, Lord. Continue to magnify his name. And we'll have the other, as many of the others can come up here, the last on this side. As many of you as can get here. Praise the Lord. I think we can just about make it here. Is there anyone else downstairs or anyone that needs to come up here? Okay. All right. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, take and eat, for this is my body. Jesus said, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus said, take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
Thank you.
Jesus said, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Hallelujah. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus said, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. He gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus said, drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do in remembrance of me. Jesus said, drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Praise him. Hallelujah.
Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Jesus said, drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the remission of sins. This do in remembrance of me. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Last call, if there's anyone else downstairs or anywhere. God bless you. Why don't we be seated for a moment, and we're just going to lift our hands and magnify God as we close the service. Thank you, Lord. Look for miracles. Look for deliverance, for blessings. He's right here with us tonight. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I believe in Him tonight. I believe in Him. Amen. Amen. It's a perilous world, but it's just His footstool. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, in closing this service, I invite any and all of you, that if you want to stay and pray, you're welcome to do that. I'm going to say a closing prayer, and then we're opening this place up for prayer. You're dismissed unto prayer. If you want to come and kneel down here, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, or you need something special from God, we got a lot of room up here, and we'll always make more room if we have to. So, shall we pray? Oh, precious Lord, we thank Thee, O God, tonight for this time, for this glorious service. Lord, we've kept Thy Passover communion as instructed. We remember Thee, Lord. Oh, how we remember Thee, and how we thank Thee, O God, for Thy salvation. Let Thy people be blessed. Lord, give them deliverance. Give them great favor in Thy sight through obedience, O God. Lord, we have earned nothing, but we take hold of Thy grace. And we take hold of Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindness. Now, Lord, bless these Thy people. Let them be lifted up. Let them be lights unto the world. A light that shineth in a dark place. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. Before you walk out the door tonight, would you take a little personal time here and pray? And again, anyone who wants to come forward, you're certainly welcome. Don't hesitate. Just come on and cry out to God. He will hear you. Amen. Yes, thank God. Hallelujah.